June is supposed to be a time for LGBTQ plus people and their friends to show up and celebrate their communities. But last year, the groups organizing Philadelphia's largest LGBTQ plus celebration disbanded. There had been issues for years, and they culminated in accusations of racism and transphobia. As it turns out, issues at Philly Pride aren't unique to Philly. Groups in many cities have struggled. And critics say they feel unwelcome in these organizations, in part because of the presence of police groups and big corporations. Let's talk to Michaela Winberg. She's host of a new podcast from WHYY. It's called March On, The Fight for Pride. Michaela, hi.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So your podcast goes into persistent problems that followed Philly Pride. You know, tell us about them.
Sure. Yeah. Well, everything sort of came to a head last summer in June of 2021. The organization that ran Philly Pride for almost 30 years, for a few decades, collapsed. They disbanded because they had posted a few statuses on Facebook, of all things, that got them into some hot water. So in one of them, they posted what looked like a Blue Lives Matter flag, but with a rainbow stripe instead of a blue one. Hmm. So, you know, of course, that drummed up some controversy among
people
who
don't... What is the Blue Lives Matter flag? What is that?
Yeah, the Blue Lives Matter flag is... It's sort of a black and white version of the American flag with a blue stripe in the middle.
Okay.
And it's come to represent everything from support for police to white nationalism, sometimes the Proud Boys. So
I can see
it's a controversial thing to post.
Yeah.
So then the organization posted another Facebook status, and this one referred to the Stonewall riots. So for those who might not know what the Stonewall riots are, that was in 1969 when a handful of LGBTQ patrons at a bar called the Stonewall Inn in New York City fought back against police. They were conducting a lot of raids of gay bars at that time, and finally the patrons had had enough. So they decided to engage in some resistance, and that was really how Pride started in this country. So the organization in Philly posted about the Stonewall riots, and they referred to the trans women who led that resistance as those dressed as women, which sort of implies that the trans women weren't actually women, just dressed like them. And that's obviously a pretty offensive and controversial thing to post.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, there was a lot of community backlash, and the organization disbanded pretty abruptly.
Well, let's talk about Naima Sanchez, someone who appears in episode 2 of March On. She says she has never felt welcome at previous Pride festivals. Let's take a listen.
I've been outside the gates of Pride Festival because I couldn't afford, as a queer youth who was experiencing houselessness, actively using and like couldn't even provide my basic needs to pay a Pride $15.
Okay, so what does Naima's story tell us about what seemed to be deep roots of exclusionary behavior by Pride organizers?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people felt that way. You know, one of the big problems that Naima mentions is the price tag. You know, the obviously you can't charge for a parade, which is in the public space, so people could watch the parade for free, but the Philly Pride Parade for years would end with a festival that cost money to get into. So naturally, that creates a problem for people who can't afford the price of admission and sort of decides who in the community can celebrate with each other, you know? And in a marginalized community, that was seen as pretty problematic. And there were a lot of issues that kept people out, whether it was intentional or not. You know, the elevation of corporations and the fact that police were often allowed to march in the parade, those are things that can be alienating for LGBTQ people, and specifically LGBTQ people of color.
Well, I want to ask you about corporations and their presence, their footprint at Philly Pride. You spoke to some attendees about this, and let's take a listen to what they told you.
Like, I've seen the more corporatization of Pride over time, and it's not great. But at the same time, these things cost money. You want to be able to pay everyone here, and everyone who performs here does deserve money. And like, everyone that works hard at this does deserve to have to be compensated for it. So it's kind of a push and pull. I wish we could just take money from the corporations and not do anything. we would just get their money and distribute it, and that's it.
So help us understand a little bit, what is the big pushback at corporations perhaps having too much of a voice to many people?
Sure. Well, that is a major conversation in the LGBTQ community right now. You know, a lot of these pride parades across the country have sort of become what people think of as more of a marketing event than an actual pride parade. You know, there are huge corporate floats, floats for corporations like, I don't know, banks or beer companies nationwide. Mm. And it seems like the bulk of these parades now are made up of these corporate floats. And I think that's really frustrating for a lot of LGBTQ people who feel like these corporations only show up for us one day out of the year. When we go to work at these corporations, they don't necessarily treat us any better, or they don't provide, you know, certain benefits for LGBTQ people. They don't help keep us safe. So I think there's kind of a call nationwide among a lot of LGBTQ people that these pride events should sort of return to the root of what they're about, which is LGBTQ people, not corporations.
Yeah. And these issues that you come upon when you tell the story about Philly Pride, as far as the challengers, the opposition to corporations, representative of police officers, exclusionary policies, is this just in Philadelphia, or is this in other places in this country?
Yeah, it's not just in Philadelphia at all. It's really a nationwide theme. I mean, the same time in June of 2021 when Philadelphia's longstanding pride organization disbanded, Boston's disbanded around that time too. The summer before that, Pittsburgh's pride organization disbanded. And even in the cities where the longstanding pride organizations are still lasting, there are these calls from the community to, you know, change how celebrations look. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy in San Francisco recently. The mayor of that city says she's not going to march in the Pride parade this year because the organizers of the parade don't want police to march in uniform. So that's caused some uproar in that city, and this sort of like back and forth between Pride organizations and city officials. So I do think that this is something you're seeing play out in different ways across the country.
Yeah. Michaela, you are you're a white reporter, and much of the activism in this space is led by queer people of color. How easy or hard was it to jump in? You know, we reporters have to parachute in and tell a story and tell it well, get people to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly am very transparent about that. I'm a white person, so a lot of the feelings that I've reported on and a lot of the circumstances that I've reported on in this podcast are not things that have affected me personally. So I certainly have to put myself in a headspace to be understanding about stuff that I might not have experienced. That being said, the good news for me is that it didn't really feel like parachuting as reporting can often feel, because I've been covering LGBTQ stories and the LGBTQ community in Philly for several years now. So many of the people who I interviewed in this podcast and who sort of helped me find other sources were people I had been speaking to for years. Oh. You know, the person who sort of had the idea to start a new pride movement in Philly has been my source for at least 2 years now. So fortunately, I have these sort of existing relationships with people. And, you know, at a certain point, it's easy to understand racism when you see it, whether you're white or whether you're a person of color. You can understand how something might affect people and how something changes the tone of the event. So I was fortunate to have a lot of these, you know, queer and trans organizers of color open up to me and be willing to share their stories with me.
Well, as far as your podcast, without giving too much away, how does the story wrap up?
Well, I can tell you, in the last episode, we take you to Philly Pride. So the listeners will be right there along with us. We went to the event that this new group tried to form in a year and put together, and they had really lofty goals. They wanted to make this event be different from the prides of the past that were too corporate, that centered police. So, you know, we'll see if they actually did it. We'll see if this sort of scrappy group of activists was able to make something that felt different to the community and was more welcoming.
Michaela Winberg hosts the podcast March On, The Fight for Pride, from member station WHYY. And she's also a reporter for WHYY's digital website, Billy Penn. Michaela, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.